ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
We're getting to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 33rd chapter, text number 30.
Evam sa kati loktena, evam sa kati loktena, margena achirata param, margena achirata param, atmanam nirvanam, brahma nirvanam, atmanam brahma nirvanam, bhagavantam avapa, bhagavantam avapa, evam sa kati lokena margina chirita param atmanam nama nirvana bhagavanta mavapa evam sa kati lokena margina chirita param atmanam nama nirvana bhagavanta mavapa evam sa kati lokena margina chirita param Atmanam Brahma Nirvanam Bhagavantam Avapaha Evam Sa Kati Loktena Margina Chirita Param Atmanam Brahma Nirvanam Bhagavantam Avapaha.
Question please.
Evam Sa Kati Loktena Margina Chirita Param Atmanam Brahma Nirvanam Evam sa kati loktena margina chirita param atmanam brahma nirvanam bhagavantam avapaha. Evam
das
sa
chi
devahuti
kapila
akapila loktena
instructed
margina
by the path
achirita
soon
param
supreme
atmanam
super soul
Brahma,
Brahman,
Nirvanam,
cessation of materialistic existence.
Bhagavantam,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Avapa,
she achieved. Certainly. Translation.
My dear Vidura,
by following principles instructed by Kapila, Devahuti soon became liberated from material bondage. She achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a super soul without difficulty. Please repeat. My dear Vidura, by following the principles instructed by Kapila, Devahuti soon became liberated from material bondage. And she achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Super Soul without difficulty. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Three words have been used in this connection to describe the achievement of Devahuti. Atmanam, Brahmanirvanam, and Bhagavantam. These refer to the gradual process of discovery of the Absolute Truth, mentioned herein as the Bhagavantam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead resides in various Vaikuntha planets. Nirvana means to extinguish the pangs of material existence. When one is able to enter into the spiritual kingdom or into spiritual realization, one is automatically freed from material pangs. That is called Brahma Nirvana. According to the Vedic scriptures, Nirvana means cessation of the materialistic way of life. Atmanam means realization of the super soul in the heart. Ultimately, the highest perfection is realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's to be understood that Devahuti entered the planet which is called Kapila Vaikuntha. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets predominated by the expansions of Vishnu. All Vaikuntha planets are known by a particular name of Vishnu, as we have understood from Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Chutam Anadim Ananta Rupam. Ananta means innumerable. The Lord has innumerable expansions of his transcendental form. And according to the different positions of the symbolic representations in his four hands, he's known as Narayan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Vasudeva, etc. There's also a Vaikuntha planet known as Kapila Vaikuntha, to which Devahuti is promoted to meet Kapila and reside there eternally, enjoying the company of her transcendental son. Because I didn't chant Vantikopa Tarubhyascha, but I'm a little nervous. I have some concern about this class. I'm hoping that I don't just sit here and say some words that sound nice, maybe a little laugh or two, but as ambitious as it may sound, I hope that these could be some transcendental words that have some spiritual benefit for myself and all of you. So I'm asking if you would pray to Srila Prabhupada, or to any form of the Lord, any devotee. I'm accepting blessings from anyone, but please ask that I might be able to be of some value in speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And please accept my humble obeisances.
Vantikopa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Devacha, Patitam Bhavanedo Vaishnavedo Namo Namaha.
So we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanti Tathatavidas, Tathamiyajnam Avyam, Pramiti, Parmiti, Bhagavan Iti Shadate. So in this verse, we have two aspects of the non-dual absolute truth. We have mentioned the Bhagavanam, the super soul, and the Bhagavantam, the supreme personality of Godhead. And by the words Brahman Nirvanam, it's making reference to Brahman realization. Now, I don't have to go into it. Let me backtrack one sentence. When I was a young devotee first joining the temple in Dallas, I could perceive that all my associates were pure devotees. I didn't have any doubt about it. These were all Vaikuntha men and women. And we had many, many children there, and they were not the ordinary kids I had seen playing in the streets where I grew up. So I was surrounded by devotees of Krishna, Radha Kala Chanji. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, having read his books, having heard some kirtans before joining, some purification taking place there, I knew I should go to the place of the spiritual master and surrender. And surrender to whom? Surrender to Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And despite having tried otherwise, I was coming to understand that I am his eternal servant. So when you first joined, it's not uncommon that many devotees will share with you that you really experienced some extraordinary amount of mercy and even ecstasy. As hard as it may believe, it was like for the first week or more, every time you're reading the deities, Radha Kalachandi and our picture of Panchatattva and Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadraji, tears would flow down my face uncontrollably. I was just so grateful that now I finally found my Lord. And I was amongst the servants of Krishna. And then when I read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and the association of devotees, I read Bhagavad Gita 3 times before joining, but then it started coming out that one who realizes Krishna, who loves Krishna, he automatically realizes Brahman and Supersoul. And this started to perplex me, because I didn't realize Brahman, and I didn't realize Supersoul. And that's why I said I have some concern about this class, because still to this day, I haven't realized Brahman, and I haven't realized Supersoul. What to speak of Krishna? The bewilderment that I, with like my associates, a pure devotee of Krishna, very quickly evaporated. And I was left with the process of Krishna consciousness, which is very joyful, and which I happily, I guess I can say, to the best of my ability, practice. But still, I was wondering, what is this? We're supposed to have already realized Brahman and Paramatma. So we have the verse, what is it? Vidyavani Sampane, Ramani Davihasani, Shunicha, Sapakecha, Pandita Samadarshana. We heard a class just a few days ago from our Prabhu Dhananivas, who has realized Brahman. I have no doubt about it. When you hear him speak about Brahman realization, detachment from the body, or what the symptoms of the realized souls who are completely liberated from the pains of material existence, you can't help but go, yes, that's what's being described. That's what I want. So I'm not going to try to describe in very much detail what he has already explained a couple of days before. The verse, Mother Devahuti, because she realized knowledge of the impersonal Brahman, as Brahman realized, so she was free from the designations and materialistic concept of I. Most of us, not all of you here, but some of us here, we're still dealing with modes of material nature in our life. And it certainly is not a fun thing to do. We can't blame the modes, we can't blame my deity, we can't blame anybody else. We have to take the responsibility wholly and solely upon ourselves. Because we, due to our desires, separate from serving Krishna, our duplicitous mentality of serving Krishna, we cheated ourselves. The spiritual master does not want to cheat us. I mean, yeah, in one sense you could say, Pandit Pesamadarshana, I have equal vision for all you Prabhus. What's my realization of that equal vision? I find one and all alike. Doesn't matter how advanced you are, or how neophyte, whether I know you or not, if you come in my contact for any length of time, just like yesterday, I had the audacity, it's something a little bit later, but I'm publicly revealing this and apologizing publicly, I implied that some of my tendency was coming out of the mouth of Dhananivas Prabhu. I mean, I am so audacious, and I'm so expert at the art of offending devotees and other people, that I take pride in it. I enjoy the humor in it. And this is part of the curse that keeps me bound to these modes and pride that I think I am this hobby, and I am this material mind. But the association of such exalted Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, it's starting to sink in. It can't help but sink in. I'm kind of like a patient who has a very high tolerance of pain. Some people, they, you know, can go and get their teeth cleaned at the dentist and not even need anesthesia or what have you. Me, just the thought of sitting down in the dentist, I practically wet my pants because I don't like pain and I don't like dentists, and that's fact. So I've become used to, very used to, and have developed a high tolerance of the pain that I bring upon myself by my own avoidance of the ultimate, reality that I must face at some point in my life, and that is surrender wholly and solely, faithfully and favorably, without duplicity, to my spiritual master, to his servants, and to the Lord. When am I going to do it? This high tolerance that I have and thinking, oh yeah, suffering's not so bad. I can maneuver myself so nicely. So yeah, I got some pain, I got some suffering, but it's not so bad. You know, what an idiot. And, you know, this is who you see sitting here. But there's great hope, because I have, somehow or other, met the bona fide spiritual master, a direct representative of Krishna, one who is Rajendra Nandana Prashta, very dear to the son of Nanda Maharaj. And he is transmitting to you and to me and to anybody else who will listen the message of Godhead. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, don't be so foolish to think that Krishna or the associates of his in the spiritual world are deaf and dumb. They speak, they are always eternally speaking the transcendental sound vibration of the glories of devotional service. And the spiritual master is that transcendental medium whereby we can hear that transcendental message, the spiritual sound vibration, even here in this realm, even with this material body, dull senses. Now really, because Krishna is at Hoksaja, he can't be perceived, he can't be heard, he can't be embraced, he can't really be served with dull material senses. He's transcendental. Bhagavan Tam. He's out of this world. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the non-dual transcendence, the absolute truth. But the potency of the transcendental message of Godhead is such that when the spiritual master mercifully disseminates it, he takes up the trouble, the inconvenience, the service, voluntarily and enthusiastically to go far and wide and spread it to any and all who will listen to him. It enters into the ear, it penetrates the heart, and because of the purity of the message, because of the purity of the messenger, it can wash away the fear, the lamentation, the stupidity of material desires that we clung to for so long. Srila Rupa Goswami says, everybody who has this material form, everyone has this material form, this human form of life, should take advantage of it. Yes, it's temporary. Sometimes we'll harp on that point. It's temporary. Why are you accepting it as something of value? But it does have unlimited value when you utilize it to hear the message of Godhead, when you actually allow that message to break apart the stone-like heart and free us to engage in devotional service. Then art to them, it's of unlimited value. So everyone must take shelter of a spiritual master. Step number one. Step number two is be guided by that spiritual master or hear the instructions. Take shelter of him and hear his instructions. Take shelter, become initiated, hear his instructions. Step number three is distinguished from step number two, and that is follow the instructions. So I'm trying to make this point because it's so important. Follow the instructions. Why is it we're not experiencing what Deva Bhuti is experiencing? In essence, you could say this verse in purport is about her becoming liberated. When Janani Masprabhu asked, why do we chant Hare Krishna? Let's do the whole mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. At the end of life, what do all of us aspiring devotees say so we can go back home to Godhead? And that's encouraged by Srila Prabhupada. It's encouraged by the scriptures. If one doesn't come to that point of wanting to totally become free of the miseries of this body and world, he's not fit to be called human. Why do we even deserve or need a human body if we haven't come to that point? One who is inquisitive, why am I suffering? Why am I baffled? Why am I defeated at every step, every turn? Please, spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge that you carry. Please be kind upon me. If we don't take up this mood of embracing the gift that the spiritual master is sharing with us in his association of instructions, what fools? We simply mechanically and habitually go through the process every day. Sometimes I'll go to Mangalarti, sometimes I won't. I was really tired today, so I think I better keep the balance program. After all, Krishna says, you shouldn't sleep too much or sleep too little. Or in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says one should maintain a healthy life. Yeah, so that one can pursue the absolute truth. Of course, I'm doing that. I'm a devotee. Hey, Krishna. So I've got to stay healthy. I've got to stay stout. I've got to stay strong. I've got to get my sleep. Well, did anybody last night hear the pounding of the piles? Did anybody awaken? It was my first night last night. What the hell is going on? It's like some giant mechanical demon. First there's that big rumble. You heard the big rumble before the pounding? Oh, yeah. We were fortunately warned just the day before. This is the kirtan that we're going to soon be hearing. Day and night. Kirtan is Nadi. Haribo! So let's remember the instructions we heard about a week ago. That, yeah, all of us are conditioned. We like our sleep. It's comfortable. It's like being an exercise. Once we're forgetful of the pains for some time. At least we think we are, because when we wake up, we forget the dreams. But the reality of it is, even when sleeping, the mind is dragging us here and there, and most of the time through suffering conditions. So let us remember the instructions Srila Prabhupada shared with us. He said, sleep is like death. He said in the latter on, that I prayed to Krishna for so long, please let me give up this sleep, because it is such a waste of time. How do you actively serve Krishna when you're lying in your bed? Unless you're a liberated soul, Brahma Nirvanam, you're not remembering Krishna in your sleep. I've seen Srila Prabhupada awaken from sleep and immediately go into preaching mode. For a devotee of Krishna, yes, he does realize Brahma. He does realize Paramatma. These things are insignificant for the devotee of Krishna. Their life and soul, their whole consciousness is absorbed in Krishna. Now, when they realize and see Brahman everywhere, when they recognize Paramatma in the heart of everyone, they're thinking of Krishna. We heard Janani Prabhu talk about the Vedas, the scriptures take us to the point, for the most part, we punish us to the level of super soul. But Vishnu, with folded hand, I say, what's the attraction when you put him side by side with Shyamasundar? It's the same person, but he's manifested in different moods. The gopis, when they saw Narayan, Vishnu, standing there with the four symbols of the Supreme Lord, they offered their respects, they offered their pranams, but they weren't interested. They were ready to leave in a moment if he couldn't tell them where Krishna was, because they had to find Krishna. I wish I could say I had some glimpse of that type of realization. I can say that in touring South India about 3 years ago with the Holiness Tribe of Swami and many of the devotees, we saw one Vishnu temple after another. Such holy, divyadeshas? Such holy places where the Lord has done a pastime or two, where he has descended and manifested himself. In respects, and you pray, Hare Krishna, please help me in my devotional service, help me in developing my devotional service for you as Krishna. And when we finally got back to a Radha Krishna temple, Maharaj said the same thing I was thinking. Boy, it's nice to see Radha Krishna again. Now those who attain Vishnu in Vaikuntha, as Mother Devahuti does, they're totally satisfied. You couldn't take a jackhammer and budge them away from the lotus feet of Vishnu. She will only and eternally serve and love Kapiladevi. And that's glorious. We're worshipping her in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. But believe it or not, we're being offered something even incomparably and inconceivably more precious than Vishnu Bhakti. We're being offered the devotional service to Shyamasundar, Radha Madhava, in the mood of the Vrajvasis. That's mercy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. And somehow or other, we're at the right place and the right time, and slowly but surely, the pile driver's trying to drive it home into our head. Krishna Bhakti, Radha Krishna. Now, I will say in relationship to Paramatma realization, I've already admitted I don't have it, but the second day of the program in Mayapur, Chandrabala Swami was with the devotees from Russia, and I had his association that day, and that night I got very, very sick. And see the body consciousness, I got sick. My body had an extreme temperature, and the shakes, and as I probably said before, I thought I had malaria. Anybody who's had malaria, I've had it 3 or 4 times, but anybody who's had it knows it's a wake-up call. Those chills just shake you to the bone, and you cry out to Krishna for shelter. And when you drag yourself to the toilet, if something wants to come up out of your stomach or something, you call out to Krishna, realizing, what a fool I am. Head in the toilet. Just see where I brought myself. And I heard the Srimad Bhagavatam class that morning by Chandramali Swami, and he was talking about the super soul and every living entity, and how we should see the super soul. We should. We should want to see the super soul. That's why we're practicing to offer obeisances, not just to the sannyasis. That's Vaishnava etiquette. That's Vaishnava custom. You're supposed to do it. If you don't do it, fast. Get it through your head. Offer respects to the senior devotees. Those in the sannyas ashram are striving, at least, or are supposed to be striving, if they have not already achieved, that they're offering their mind, their words, and body. in the service of Krishna and his dear servants. How can you not see the benefit of offering respects to the sannyasis? But the super soul's in everyone's heart. Our best friend, the sanctioner of our stupid desires are our spiritual desires. The witness who remembers all the foolishness we desire and sooner or later, according to our deserves, rewards and punishes us with that just karma, or every single little tiny bit of service that's rendered to him. That is our best friend. That is super soul. Krishna is expanded within our heart. So with folded hands, we dare to utter this. Paramatma. Krishna in the heart. So glorious. This is Krishna. Remember, what kind of person is Krishna? Mother Putana. Putana. She came to kill Krishna. She wanted to kill him. Can you imagine somebody taking a knife and trying to cut your head off and forgiving him? One time it happened to a devotee, actually. Some crazy person, and supposedly a devotee, beheaded one devotee who had served Prabhupada in so many ways for so many years. Another person tried doing the same thing to his holiness, Jayabhattakaswami. Can you imagine a devotee forgiving that person? Krishna does. He didn't think twice about the poison she smeared on her breast, except that she's come to offer me milk, just like my mother. And he gave her transcendental, eternal engagement in the mood of a mother of Krishna. Can you think of anybody more worthy of surrendering to? Can you think of anybody more merciful? Can you imagine having him as your friend? That's a friend. Sits with us through thick and thin, despite what few qualities we have worth recognizing. And they're only the gift of the spiritual master, engaging us in devotional service, where slowly but surely, who we are, is starting to keep its head out a little bit at least. So we should see super soul. When I heard Chandra Malaswami, maybe because I was so destitute and so bereft of my health, and realizing, oh, Krishna, 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 Vaksha, Mama. The word sunk in, and since then, let's see how long it lasts. But when I meet people I don't know, or devotees that I don't have much reciprocation with, I try to remember the super soul, but I had no attraction to the super soul. There I said it. But Madhava, Radha Madhava, the deities, Bhakti Satasar Sati Thakur, said they can manifest themselves as super soul. He says they can manifest themselves as Krishna, as a Leela avatar, as one of the Chatur Vyuha, as a super soul, or if we maintain the separatist mentality of a neophyte devotee, they'll stay as the deity. When we progress and realize, oh my goodness, they're not really just stone. Machine, they did tiny, take a tiny little glance in my direction. What am I thinking? He was probably looking at the devotee behind me. But we appreciate it. The Lord, Radha Madhava, can manifest in so many ways, and as the super soul. So instead of, as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, for someone who is a gross materialist for all practical purposes, like myself, when I look and I see anybody or anything, I'm just making an object of you. How do you say that word properly in that context? Objectizing? What's that word? You're good at language? Do you know what I'm trying to say? To objectize? Objectify. It's been proven by psychologists. How do these people do such abominable things to people? Torture them, hurt them, kill them? Because they see them as an object. They're not a person. They're not someone you love or care about. You don't identify with their pain or pleasure. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says that's how we look at each other. A materialist looks at, he simply measures everything he looks at. Is this big enough for me to enjoy? Is it worthy of my enjoyment? Do I like the package that this comes in? Oh no, that's too fat, too old, too ugly, too this or that. Oh, now she, that's a different program. She's beautiful, she's young, this or that. That's objectifying the devotees. It has nothing to do with devotional service. But when I strive to remember Radha Madhava, it's a whole different game. It's a whole different reality. It puts me in the mood of trying to be respectful and be open to how Radha Madhava, through this person, is reciprocating with me. It's stated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that a devotee recognizes that every Prabhu is greater than he is. Every living entity. Not to speak of devotee, but every living entity. So let's keep it simple for a neophyte like me. Every person is to be viewed as greater as me. What is this, an Uttama Adhikari platform? No. This is the basics of Amani Mamanadena. If we're cultivating Krishna consciousness non-duplicity, then we're getting to the point where we're realizing, I don't have to be given this garland. This garland may look really nice on my body, but what does the body have to do with me? What if I just restrict my desire of wanting to get the mercy from Srila Prabhupada and the Lord simply by being given a garland or being given some praise? Oh yeah, that was a nice class, Raj. I really like that. Why cheat ourselves for trinkets, for glass, broken, cheap jewelry? Our real goal is love for Krishna. Or at least from any point in devotional service, if we want to be in the liberated state, at least be desiring to serve Krishna according to what he wants, as the spiritual master has instructed me. Let me please Krishna favorably. That's real bhakti, and you need to practice it at any point in Krishna consciousness, because this stage of Brahma Nirvanam is realized from day one in one embrace of Sarvadharma Pritchitta. You don't have to worry. You surrender to me. Krishna says, I'm going to take care of you. Where's the fear? My best friend is protecting me. Where's the anxiety about the economy and my maintenance? My best friend's going to provide for me. At any point, you can render devotional service. It's just a matter of that desire becoming first and foremost in our heart. And it's recommended that one associate with devotees who are more advanced than himself, because if we simply maintain our friendship with devotees who are on equal level, our peers, then sometimes we tend to just kind of keep each other comfortable. And as crutches or props, we maintain what conditioned nature we have while performing devotional service. That sometimes takes place, coasting in Krishna consciousness. Instead of prayerfully desiring to ever shed the brass, the contamination, the inartas that are keeping us from purely serving Krishna. So we should associate with more advanced devotees. And part and parcel of serving Krishna is offering respect to everyone and not wanting that respect. That was the point in relationship to what respect we do receive. We shouldn't consider it to be very important. In fact, in proper consciousness, when we are offered the respect, we want to just realize, this isn't to me, this is to my guru. Anything of value that someone finds of inspiration or praiseworthy or respectable, that's only mercy, my guru. Pass it on to Srila Prabhupada or your spiritual master. In fact, if somebody goes overboard in explaining one's glories, then one should think, come on, I thought you were my friend. This is like pig stool. It's not even just stool, it's the pig eating stool and then excreting, and then that pig stool is being offered, and I think, oh, it's so wonderful. Yeah, you've recognized who I am. We shouldn't desire that. And the more we cultivate offering respect to others, of course they're respectable. They're extensions of Krishna. They're part and parcels of Krishna. The pure devotee, now you can say this is a, you know, upama adhikari, but it still relates to us, at least in the perspective of somebody again. The devotee should see everything. A devotee is actually presented in the negative. A devotee should not see anything as being separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Ether, fire, air, water, earth, the sun, and other luminaries, all living beings, attractions, trees, and other planets, the rivers, oceans, whatever a devotee experiences, he should consider to be an expansion of Krishna. Thus, seeing everything that exists within the creation as the energy of the Supreme Lord Hari, the devotee should offer his sincere respects to that energy or expansions of the Supreme Lord. That's called something again. We may not be seeing Krishna Shyam Sundar. We're hoping to one day, as Srila, don't mind me quoting me repeatedly, but as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if my gurus one day deem me fit to bestow upon me the mercy whereby I, a helpless soul, may be able to help others like me, we know when will that day come. So I'm serving Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna's about me. The Jnani in becoming liberated, he thinks, Tamasi, I am that. We don't say I am that. I am his. That's where we separate ways with the part ways with the Jnani. We get the same benefit. We get the liberation. She's not even conscious of her body. What to speak of the pains and pleasures of her body. She's totally absorbed in Kapila, in vision. We get everything that any other process will offer if we surrender wholly and solely in devotional service to Krishna. Guaranteed. The bliss that the Jnani perceives, don't think that he's not experiencing happiness. We may say it's the last Jnanamaya. We may try to say this is not different than material. But Krishna is certified. They experience unlimited happiness. Eternality is fantastic. Why? Yes, Prabhupada Prabhupada Gadanda Kodi. The Brahman is the expansions of the transcendental, the rays, the effulgence of the transcendental body of Krishna. As such, experiencing that Brahman, they are in touch with Krishna. They are experiencing the spiritual happiness. But that happiness, compared to the ecstasy of rendering, loving, unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, is nothing. You can multiply that Brahman Sukha, Rama Nirvana Sukham, 100 trillion times, and it would even equal a drop of the ocean of unlimited pleasure one gets in devotional service. Krishna, our best friend, is the reservoir of all pleasure. When he sees or kindly thinks that, yes, this devotee really does want to serve me, when he offers himself to a devotee, being the reservoir of all pleasure, that devotee experiences unlimited, variegated pleasure. And as most of us aspiring Vaishnavas still desire relief from pain and are wanting happiness or pleasure, we can justify it by saying, yeah, that's the nature of the soul. But when we hear that, then having firm faith in Krishna consciousness, and Krishna consciousness alone will give us the benefits of every other subordinate process, that's called faith. The stronger the faith, the more fortunate we are. That's the definition given by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Have faith in the process being given to us. Embrace it wholeheartedly. Not just take what we like, leave what's too difficult, what I don't really like. No. In our best effort, try to embrace step by step, beginning with the foundation that, please, let me just please you. And speaking of pleasing the Lord, let's take it because I have just a couple more minutes. Could I ask the Assembly of Vaishnavas? She's got Brahman realization, she's got Paramatma realization, she's fixed in her loving, eternal devotion to the Supreme Lord as Vishnu, and as such will go to Vishnu. Whether she's here or there, she's with Vishnu, it doesn't matter. She's with him. She may look like she's in this world, but she's not. She's got the whole package, and we're being presented her example so that we can understand it and emulate it. But what's missing in the picture here in Devahuti that we are supposed to be getting, that we're actually being offered that's even far superior than what she's experiencing? I'll just pause for a second to give you a moment to let that sink in. There's something missing in this picture. And actually, many, if not all of you, Prabhus have it. And what is it? She's not preaching. Do you hear any mention of Paramahamuni going out to preach? Do you hear any mention of Devahuti preaching? She's not doing it. She's simply absorbed in her loving devotional service to Krishna. And Krishna, as Kapila Dev, is accepting it. He's so kind. Krishna wants to be with Srimati Radharani. He wants to be surrounded by the Vrajavasis. He won't take one step, not half a step out of Vrindavan. Never, ever. When he takes care of business with his other devotees who aren't his closest intimate associates, the Vrajavasis, he expands. And he reciprocates lovingly, wholeheartedly, accepting what they're offering, their love. And he satisfies them completely. But we're being given the opportunity to actually offer service to the residents of Vrindavan who are serving Radha and Krishna. We're being allowed the opportunity. Come on in. The invitation, the door is there. You just come in. Guru will take us by hand if we want to, and he'll lead us there. And how do we do that? What is the move with which even us fallen Kali Yugites can take advantage of that? Take up the instruction and mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever realization we have, share it with others. Don't be like a flame that gets covered by a pot and slowly but surely gets extinguished. If you don't share what you have, you lose it. The inconceivable, apparent, contradictory nature of devotional service and love for Krishna is that the more you give it away, the more you get. That's why the spiritual master is said to be the most dear associate of the Lord, because their whole existence, their whole being, their whole life is in service to the Guru and the Lord. What service? Sharing Krishna consciousness. That's the life. The Guru is the Atma of the disciple. His words, his instructions, go out and preach. That's the life and soul of the devotees who get it. And even if we don't realize and get it, we're fortunate that we're in the society of devotees that if we're plugged in any way, we are contributing toward the mission of the spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya. We are so unlimitedly fortunate. All we have to do is keep doing it, try to improve, and we become dear to the Lord also. And even if we don't qualify to become dear to the Lord by having wholeheartedly offered our love to the Lord in sacrificing so extensively and trying to share Krishna consciousness with others, Krishna told Arjuna that what to speak of my devotees being dear to me, even the devotees of my devotee is very dear to me. So we're properly situated. We're most fortunate. But we also have to see both sides of it. If we mechanically just maintain this coasting mode of Krishna consciousness, then we are not sharing what mercy we've been given to those who deserve it, who need it. If you do not share your mercy with those who are inferior to you, it's stated in the Garuda Purana, that your life is superficial. What does that mean? Your life is superficial if you're not sharing mercy with those who are inferior to you. The thoughts that I had in trying to dwell on that statement was, yeah, we may go through the steps. We've seen it in the history of ISKCON that devotees embraced the externals, so they became a fixed-up brahmachari, they became a temple commander, they became a temple president, they became a regional secretary, they became a GBC, they became a guru, they became everything, and then they were left with what? If the depletiousness was there, if they were cheating themselves and not embracing and actually giving mercy, not embracing the essence of what we're being given, which is any and everything we have and who we are is simply meant to be used for the pleasure of Krishna, and his highest pleasure is in sharing it with others. If we haven't embraced that part of it, where are those prabhus now? As it's been stated by far more elevated and senior Vaishnavas than me, we had expert managers in the past. Some of them were certified by Srila Prabhupada to be more intelligent than any and all the devotees. So expert. But if you just keep on the external plane of the body engaging devotional service, or the mind intelligence in terms of keeping it selfishly contaminated, then we may find ourselves getting exactly what we wanted, which is being cheated. Getting the accolades, getting the pleasure and all that, you know, you may define as that pleasure and the fame and the service, but then you would find yourself ultimately very much feeling a lack in one's life. And if one is unfortunate at that point to find the real treasure in the association of devotees and surrender to Krishna and his devotees, then what do you do? Just like the impersonalist, where do you turn? There's nowhere else to turn but in material sense gratification. Again, become a mouse. So both things are there. Right now, we're perfectly situated, Brahma Nirvanam. Our activities, perfect. We should motorize so that, and it sounds extreme, but it isn't that difficult under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON. We should motorize so that 24 hours a day, we can't help think of Krishna. If you introspectively are thinking, why are you doing everything that you do? If you become conscious, then you become Krishna conscious. Am I pleasing Krishna? The process allows us naturally to unfold, just like there's that verse in the first canto. Pasadeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Priyojita Dhaniya Ti Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahitikam. Inconceivably. And basically, what's it say? Causelessly. One will acquire one's devotion. One will acquire spiritual transcendent knowledge. And obviously, along with that, side by side is detachment from this, you know, cesspool of the material world and all that it has to offer. When I was sitting down at the feast yesterday, basically my whole consciousness was in the feast. I wasn't thinking of anything else. Nothing. And then as I began to eat, it was like, wow, this is the best cake I ever had in my pool. Wow, this is nice. Wow. Jayananda Prabhu used to say, this is the best vishakam I ever had. So the pleasure was there. The experience was direct. No one had to pat me on the back and go, yeah, that's good, right? Right, it's good. No one had to convince me. It was good. It was nourishing. And automatically, there was no thought, once I had finished my plate, did I want anything else? I was completely satisfied. That's the analogy of bhakti. Direct association with the Lord is totally pleasing, overwhelmingly pleasing. It is nourishing, and it allows one to give up everything else but the service and association for Krishna. And unlike the feast, in service to Krishna, on the spiritual platform, you can go on and on and on, and your intense desire increases more and more without cessation. Yesterday, I had to push the play away at a certain point, but in Krishna consciousness and service to the Lord, it never ends. It just gets better. So I better shut up because the time isn't stopping. So, would anybody like to contribute? Or is there any question? Yes, Jamani Basu. This is Pankajami, by the way. Yes. Okay. Did everybody hear? Pankajami Prabhu asked, when you quoted from, and I didn't get the reference, so you couldn't, it's from the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, 4th verse. He said, when you're supposed to see everything as Krishna, is that how you phrase it? Did you say the energy of Krishna? And one should offer, yes, worship, yes. How far do you take that? I will try and repeat the purport that goes with it that's pertinent to this point, and hopefully it will answer you, because Jiva Goswami says 28, that's the Sanskrit word in the verse, and he says, one should offer all respects to everything, because it is the energy of the Lord. One who's fixed in the relationship, no, you can even take it back, dial it back even more. One who realizes that Krishna is the creator of everything, the owner of everything, then one, you know, slowly but surely wakes up to the fact that Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. When one is fixed, this is where I can say this part, when one is fixed in one's relationship and service to the Lord, then one in ecstasy sees that everything, that devotee, the highest downward devotee, they can see that everything is ecstatic paraphernalia for worship of the Lord, service of the Lord. One who's not on that platform, he has to distinguish and discriminate. He has to be guided by the spiritual master, because there are some things that you would not be able to understand about why he's in the service of the Lord. But at least one, we can be conscious that it is the expansion of the Lord, and remember Krishna in that way. In that way, Krishna is blessing us. But that, does that shed some light? Otherwise, the other side of it is, the acharyas say, if you don't realize that Krishna, then Madhya Yashin Gataha is the source of everything. Everything. Vasudevam Saramiti and Ahamsa Vashit Kavavo. If you don't recognize that, then you start to think, well, oh, this is actually for me. You don't see its connection to Krishna, so I have right to claim that for me, and that just is a very slippery downhill slope that can be very detrimental in devotional service. Does that shed some light? Yeah. Thank you if I did say that for correcting me. The ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita says, behold my mystic opulence. Even though I am everything, still I'm distinct and I'm separate from everything. In fact, in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very clearly says a couple of verses to Arjuna and us in that regard. He says that a true yogi observes me, Krishna, and all beings, and also sees all and every being in me. A deep self-realized person sees me, the Supreme Lord, everywhere. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor has he ever lost me. So we're not like Maya bodies. We don't think that, you know, in and of itself, this is worshipable. But when it holds the water for a speaker, Srimad Bhagavatam, actually it is worshipable. It is seen as spiritual bodies. Connection has to be there. Otherwise, that's my body philosophy. And then they're just left with slipping back down into sense gratification because there's no real tangible shelter in that realization. It's not a true realization, it's an illusion. Thank you for correcting me. Janani Vasprabhu?
Thank you, Guru. He said that he sees his guru everything.
That's a GM, thank you. Kitanagi Prabhu.
I was going to ask, there's a Kapila Bhakti.
Yeah, it's called, well, named after him, that's one thing, but he's very dear to Radha and Krishna, he's very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates. It might be hard to catch Sri Prabhupada because it wouldn't surprise me if he's at this very moment somewhere else beside there, although simultaneously existing there, distributing the transcendental mercy of devotional service. Could say in that regard, Prabhupada one time did say there's a planet where Jesus is, and those who worship him sincerely can go to him, have his association, and advance further in devotional service. And also in that regard, there's Dhruva Loka, a planet named after Dhruva, and Prabhupada said that those in the purport, he said, those who take this process, how did he say the word, incompletely. In other words, one is still attached to something other than just total surrender in devotional service, he gets the opportunity to go to Dhruva Loka to serve the Lord there. So even that's just like, Hare Krishna. I don't want to end up in Dhruva Loka. I'm being given, you know, the tantalizing invitation of Vrindavan Dham. Yeah, I'm so sorry. We don't want to accept, if we can be so audacious, to take second best. Wherever Prabhupada goes, however, it is good to say, a sincere follower accepts him as their life and soul will go wherever he wants us to go. And the question was, to repeat for our audience online, our humble obeisances to you, Kitanagi Prabhu is asked, is there a local named Prabhupada local where he is, just like Kapila has his own Vaikuntha planet. Any other question? Yes, Janai Osman. Janai Osman Prabhu said, one time Srila Prabhupada was asked, is there this kind in the spiritual world? Prabhupada said, yes, if you like, you can have this kind there. Thank God in the association of devotees. Prabhu said, he asked, it's a rhetorical question, really. But he said, Devahuti, by your spotless example, by your behavior, her service to Kapila, she is forever glorified in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And she will inspire devotees eternally. Is that not preaching? I stand corrected. I would say it's mighty funny preaching. Forgive me, Mother Devahuti. I was just trying to make a point that might relate to us, though. We should be preaching. I want to say one verse in that regard, one quote, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. Because we can't say she in her own life. The glorification that follows afterwards is what you're making mention of. But in her own life, she absorbed herself in her personal relationship with the Lord. And that relates to this quote of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where he says that you can take all the Bhajanandis. And we know the Bhajanandis can be pure devotees. But you can take all the Bhajanandis of the entire world, add them up together, and the benefit that they bestow upon others doesn't equal the benefit of one single preacher. That was the mood in which I tried to shift in that last part of it. I saw it, yes, Marcus. It's a good question. The question was, we heard the great fortune of Putana. Krishna accepted her offering of the breast milk. He drank the breast milk of Putana and bestowed upon her the eternal relationship of mother, but how can we neglect the fact that he also sucked out her life air? You want to verbalize it? Is that okay? Wait. Okay, I do remember Mother Narayan might help me in this regard if I don't cover it sufficiently. But when she did come up, does anybody remember what did Krishna do? Close his eyes. And the Acharyas make mention of different reasons why he closed his eyes. And one of them is, why is this? This makes us want to die and kill me. So he did close his eyes. And I can make that one particular point. It's not that Krishna is ignorant of our shortcomings. As the Lord in our heart, as Krishna, he knows better than we are own anarthas. He knows what's stacked up just waiting to manifest, the reactions of our sins and our anarthas and offenses. He knows far better than us. But, hey, Krishna Karanasindo, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, he is a friend of the fallen, a friend of the poor, and he's an ocean of mercy. And it's only when he invites the mood of Srimati Radharani and appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he becomes even more merciful. And then it's said that mercy of the pure devotees, the Vaikuntha men, the guru, the real Vaishnavas, the preachers, their mercy is as potent, and sometimes we glorify even more so or stronger than the mercy of the Lord. So it's not that Prabhupada. Ask anybody who ever got the glances from the Prabhupada. Ask him if you think Prabhupada didn't see your shortcomings and what a dirty, contaminated rascal you were when he looked right through you. He saw everything. But what does he accept? Like a swan, the Paramahamsa takes the essence, takes the good, and leaves aside the rest. Because that is of eternal value. That's who we really are. And that's all they're really concerned with. Let's give you who you are. Let's get you back where you came from. So does that somewhat satisfy you? What is not satisfied? Because the simple Vaishnavas is really satisfied. Express what your thoughts are then, please.
In other words, you're saying someone approaches Krishna.
I did, in essence, say that. I probably should be some clarification to it. Let me put it like that. But, and what is she saying? Hold that thought. She's saying, you said Krishna takes what's good and leaves aside everything else.
Yeah, takes the service.
But if he had, if it says in scripture, and then I'll give it to Narayani if she would like to embellish or correct. It said in the scripture that Krishna will satisfy the living entity's desire. Specifically, he'll satisfy the desire of the devotees, but not in such a way that they can further cause themselves suffering because of that stupid desire. And you can't have a more foolish desire to try and kill Krishna. How ludicrous is that? So for him to take her life there and put her back in the loka, that stopped her from further entangling herself or creating any other sin or offense. That's certainly kindness and love, wouldn't you say? Thank you for bringing it up. Did you want to add anything, Ryan?
Okay, bring it up. said, and her job was to use muscle control and muscle stop from the motion. And he said, good sense.
You can argue.
Because I make the point that everyone appreciates Leland. It's not what they're doing. The genius that was ever put on last night was Robin's sister. And Washington got to cut off. In previous life, he was the barber, the princess, Princess Robin's sister. She was outside of the house. So they all have backstories. It's called backstories. Even though he's backstory is sometimes hidden. Christian was probably the last
one. You give two examples.
Yeah. So anyway, it goes on. So nobody makes it. Leland or Leland, including the genius, without very extensive, sometimes backstory.
Kitamagipuru was making mention that we should be mindful that anyone who's in Krishna Lila is extraordinary. And he's saying all, I might put up to that, he's saying they all have backstory, and you get two examples. Suparnaka became Puja, and Vashaman was? Vashaman was killed by Krishna, right? He was killed. Yeah, with his bare hand. Cut off the Vashaman's head, that person was the barber who criticized Ram for taking back Mother Sita because supposedly she was an unchaste wife. How about now we won't know the backstory of everybody, but, you know, time is very cruel. But the Brahmins, the young Brahmins, are sometimes used as an example by devotees that they had the good fortune to be married to the wives who saw an opportunity to run to Krishna and surrender to Krishna. You want food? I have the American upbringing and conditioning. I want to say, I wish I had a better way of saying it. Through our husbands and their performance of yajna, we're taking that food and we're taking it to Krishna and in the yard. The Brahmins, when they saw it, they realized our wives are so much more fortunate and exalted than we are. Fie upon us as Brahmins, fie upon our yajna, fie upon our mantras, our soul called knowledge of scripture. And because of fear of Kamsa, they didn't follow in the footsteps of. The point has been made. We may not be perfect in our execution of Sandha Bhakti. If we maintain that Sandha Bhakti, the spiritual master can take us to the manifest Leela of Krishna. And just because we make it to the manifest, there are, in other words, Sadhana Bhakti is taking the manifest Leela. Just because we make it to the manifest Leela, it doesn't mean that we have to totally embrace the pure loving devotion that is exhibited by everybody else around us. They didn't take advantage of it. And if you connect the dot, that so learning in manifest Leela might take birth more than one time before you actually get to the point that I'm Krishna, and whatever I'm Krishna is, and whatever I have, I don't care whatever the price, whatever the pain, whatever the inconvenience, whatever I can do to please him, I will do that to the best of my ability. Krishna is everything for me. His pleasure is everything for me. So that's a footnote to saying, dude, that comes to mind talking about some of the inhabitants or participants in manifest Leela of the Lord. I probably went on too long on that one. That'll take all the air out of the room. I'm sorry. Anybody have one last comment in on an up note? Thank you very much. Hello! For the benefit of those who didn't hear, for online devotees, the practice of Astanga Yoga has 8 steps and culminates in Samadhi. And Srila Prabhupada said that we devotees, we have a step that's even above and beyond Samadhi. What is that step? Preaching. Shri Prabhupada ki, Kandarashi Bhagatam ki, Anantakoti Vaishnavindi ki, Gopinandi.